Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Welcome back to the second hour of Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. I'm Chad LaChance. I'm filling in for Mr. Wickstrom while he's away and traveling, and we always appreciate the opportunity to do so. I've been doing so for like 12 years at this point. We have a great time with it. But another guy that's been a regular part of this program for a very long time here in Colorado, a good close friend of mine, Mr. Nathan Zlinski from Chightline Outdoors. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Chad. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm in studio. I'm not outside, so I don't know how good that is, but I'm happy to be here. And, you know, I was talking to some folks getting ready for this show, and I had a guy that told me that he was out catching walleyes from the shore right after I got a text from you saying you wanted to talk about catching walleyes from the shore. So I think you might have a good topic to go today, because that's one of the very common questions I get is, geez, I don't have a boat, but I'd like to catch walleyes. We're in the middle of winter in Colorado right now. I mean, it's early February, and yet there are shore fishing opportunities available for walleyes, and you're going to tell us about them.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of one of those awesome times. And honestly, as an angler that chases walleyes on ice and open water, we're literally kind of at an awesome point of the year, just because they both exist. I mean, right now, you know, the south end is Chatfield Reservoir. So say from like Eagle Cove or that south arm, you know, the buoy line back. I mean, that has got great fishable ice right now. So we're on the ice. The other day we had a 35 fish day in 4 hours, catching walleyes to the ice, which is just, I mean, it's awesome. But then you go to the north half of the reservoir at like Chatfield right now, and all your points are open water. Your dam face is open water. And the bite is absolutely awesome. Now Cherry Creek, almost 100% iced off the other day, so there's a ton of open water opportunities there. Pueblo Reservoir, I mean, you can go throughout the state and you can find a lot of open water opportunities. And, you know, the reason we want to talk about it is our spawn at our normal lakes. I don't want to say normal calling your lakes, and I say your lakes, you know, Carter, your northern Colorado, but a lot of the lakes that anglers are fishing, our spawn keeps getting earlier and earlier. And our pre-spawn bite at like a Chatfield or Cherry Creek, it's literally starting almost at the end of January, if not for sure early February. And right now we have walleyes, especially in the Denver Metro, in shallow water, in full-blown pre-spawn. I mean, they're aggressive. I don't want to say they're easy to catch, but they're very approachable to angling. And the bite's awesome. And that open water bite is happening right now in those pre-spawn fish. And so many times in Colorado, we have a lake 100% capped, and by this time of year, the ice starts going bad. And so many times we miss the pre-spawn bite because it's not quite open water. It's not quite safe enough to ice fish. And we kind of miss this window. That's where right now you have ice fishing opportunities and open water opportunities for pre-spawn fish. And the fish are aggressive, and we're catching a lot of good quality fish from shore right now.
Well, yeah, I don't think anyone thinks of open water walleye fishing in February in Colorado, realistically. But as a guy that's not really a big ice fan, that's fine with me. I have no problem with that. Now, techniques-wise, I have not been out chasing walleyes. I'll just be dead candid. I have not been out chasing walleyes in open water yet. My presumption is I'm going to have to fish relatively slow. But when you're saying pre-spawn, the first thing I start thinking about is hanging a jerkbait in their face. But I'm guessing you're probably going to jig them a little bit real tight to the bottom.
You know, we're doing both opportunities, honestly. So it's cool because, you know, if you come, as we fast forward, say, 2 weeks, we're pretty much going to exclusively have a jerkbait low light window bite. So, you know, as we approach later February, it's all jerkbaits. It's night fishing. It's a super low light. And the daytime activity really fades off as we approach the spawn, which, again, like I said, it's earlier and earlier. It used to be so heavy in March and April. And these windows just keep coming earlier and earlier as these lakes ice off, oxygen booms, water temperatures go, our moon phases are right. But with that being said, right now, as it's still early, and it's still very heavy pre-spawn, we're doing doing jerk baits in low light periods of the day, and then we're throwing jigs during the daytime. So if you're going to go to shore fishing right now, we're looking at walls. So you're looking at steeper shoreline where those walleyes can push that bait up against that wall, and that's that low light period. So early, late in the day, deep walls is where those walleyes are approaching bait fish, and that's your jerk bait window. The biggest thing with the jerk baits is the combination, which is kind of crazy, of aggressive and very subtle. So with that being said, when we're doing our twitches or the jerking motion of our jerk baits, we're actually doing it pretty aggressive to create a lot of noise, a lot of flash, and really hit the notes of the pre-spawn aggression of a walleye. But after you do that heavier cadence for a second, you're then going to add the really long pauses, you know, those 3 to 5 second pauses, let those fish come up, let those fish approach that bait. So it's kind of a combination of an aggressive stroke and then that long pause after. And that's the key to fishing those jerk baits right now. And then as you get into the daytime period, so you're going to go out there right now, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, you're going to look more for structure. So you're looking where a point extrudes out into the lake or where you can cast and approach some sort of structure. So grab a topographical map, figure out where you have some contour changes, and you're casting jigs. Now, with that being said, literally, usually it would be a reaction bait, a jigging wrap, a blade bait. But now we're even throwing swim baits as these fish are so evolved in that pre-spawn bite. So really, jigging styles and cadences and even styles of jigs are really wide open right now. Everything from blade baits to, again, the swimming baits like a jigging wrap, you know, the smaller, you know, profiled swim baits, like a 3.5-inch paddle tail is doing very well. So daytime, it's about the jig. Low light period, it's all about the cadence of that jerk.
Well, I'll clarify a couple of those things because I'm in agreement across the board on that whole last spiel on the baits. First of all, I've said for a million years, as a jerk bait junkie, it's the jerks that get their attention, but it's the vulnerability or the sudden stop, the bait just hanging there in the water column that makes them, you know, the proverbial sitting duck. And anytime, any species of fish, and the same thing would work right now for smallmouth, up against a steep bank in cold water and a bait that just hangs there after getting their attention where they can come up and look at it, and you'll see their fins get going. If you could see them, you'd literally watch their fins get going. They get all excited, and then boop, and they'll give it a kiss, and you'll get them. You are not going to feel a big, giant bite. You'll feel a tick, but that's about it. Or they'll just be on it when you go to pull it because it's hanging there. They look at it. You jerk it. They grab it as soon as you move it. So that's a key thing. Now, for me, that little swim bait, let it go all the way to the bottom, put it on jig head, let it go to the bottom, and wind it just fast enough to keep it moving above the bottom. Is that what you're doing with that?
You know, I'm actually making bottom contact. So the biggest thing I said that we're doing different than the normal cadence. A lot of times I'm putting a major focus on long cast, especially when I'm on shore, just so I cover more water. So we're fishing a really heavy jig head, 3/8, even 1/2 ounce, to where we can bomb it out there and get to all the structure points from shore. And we're swimming the bait roughly about 3 feet. So you're holding the bait, you know, 6 to 10 inches off bottom, and you swim the bait 3 feet vertically, or I should say horizontally towards you, then make that bottom contact. Know that you're on that bottom.
Right.
Then lift it up, swim it about 3 feet, and make that contact. The contact's doing two things. Number one, it's just keeping you in that strike zone.
Right.
So many times from shore, if we don't have our graphs in front of us, we have a hard time understanding the, you know, what contours are actually fishing. So we're keeping the bait low and making contact to make sure we're in that strike zone. And then the other big thing, every so often, being talking reaction, just to settle down and that pop back up is just enough what it takes. Because that bait hits the bottom, the fish kind of key in on it. They're like, hey, what is that? It only happens for a second, but gets the curiosity of why it laid down. The second it pops back up, gets that curiosity, gets that chase, that hunting instinct. And those fish want to chase it down and get after it. So we got to make a little more contact just to keep in the zone and keep that strike, you know, opportunity up. But the biggest thing I'd say that we're doing is we're fishing really heavy baits just to, again, cover water and approach so much structure.
Well, and it's also easier to keep the heavy bait on that on in that strike zone. The heavier a jig is, the easier it is, obviously, to keep it near the bottom. And bottom control, or depth control, I should say, is muy importante in any kind of fishing. And when you're from the bank, that's can be a little tougher to deal with. So for sure, the heavier jig, feeling that thing hit the bottom and knowing. And I can tell you as a guide, and you'll probably agree with this, I'll tell guys in my boat, you know, keep your jig, we need your jig on or near the bottom the whole time. And invariably throughout the course of the day, there'll be 50 times with most people where I got to be like, hey, let the jig back down, because they keep picking it up. Now, it's a little easier to keep the jig on the bottom from the bank because you're working up the hill as opposed to being in a boat. But, you know, that can be really, really important, guys, is to keep your bottom contact, to keep idea of where your jig is all the time. And I find that's kind of day one stuff. Now, when you're working that jig, are you doing any snap jigging? Like for me, you know me, I'm addicted to the little goat minnow and snap jigging that little guy. Are you doing some snapping as well, or you're keeping it a little tighter than
that? I wouldn't say a snap. I mean, we're doing a little bit more aggressive than a lift, but I wouldn't say we're quite snapping it.
Gotcha.
So it's more like, you know, a slight pop off bottom, swim it a couple of feet, and then let it sit down. And we let it sit down. We still have a tight line in the fall, but we're letting it hit fairly hard just to make a little bit of a noise just so they can hear that.
Sure. And the heavier jig head help with that too.
Exactly. So a little more aggressive than a lift, but not quite a full-blown snap. Again, it's trying to find that fine line of aggressive with pre-spawn, but yet still cold water, still, you know, I don't want to say lethargic, but you know, keeping an eye on everything to kind of cater to those fish the best you can. And then the biggest thing with the jerkbait, I think a lot of guys, I don't want to say fish small because your traditional 4-inch swim bait or 4-inch jerkbaits are catching fish right now, but we're even upwards of some of that bigger stuff. This is the last, say, week and a half of the spring where these fish are going to feed on big aggressive bait as they're preparing for spawn. Then we go through the spawning cycle where everything tones down a little bit. So right now, if you get that right fish, that more mature female, they're looking for a meal. So like right now, like an elite 10 rogue, where you're fishing a full, you know, 6 to 7 inch jerkbait, it's pretty impressive the quality of fish you're catching. I think so many guys are used to fishing smaller jerkbaits and they get it in their head because we do that so much throughout the course of the year. As where right now, again, it's a small window each year where we get these pre-spawn fish, but you can really up the size of that jerkbait, which gives you more control, and it can create some bigger bites for you at the end of the day. So upsizing that jerkbait big, and it gives you also that control to keep that tight line, because like you said, the bites can be very light.
They're so subtle. You know, it's kind of ironic because we're fishing for the biggest fish of the year right now, and the bites are very subtle. So, Nate, we ran out of time. Once again, you always have great information. Tightlineoutdoors.com, if guys want to get a hold of you.
Absolutely. Tightlineoutdoors.com, and watch it out on Facebook. Love to talk to you.
There you go. Nathan Zielinski, guys, one of our favorites here on The Fan. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.